Many people always expect me to say something about the Illuminati since I first became famous or infamous for a novel about the Illuminati I wrote with Bob Shea. And then to compound my folly, I wrote a few more novels about the Illuminati on my own. The Illuminati was a secret society of the 18th century about which everybody disagrees because it was secret, and it was so secretive that nobody really can agree about what the secret was. Thomas Jefferson described them as enthusiastic philanthropists, which sounds like high praise until you know that in the 18th century, enthusiastic meant half crazy. Half crazy philanthropists is what Jefferson was calling them. That they've been accused of being atheists, Kabbalistic magicians, sorcerers, Satanists, communists, anarchists, and just Jeffersonian Republicans. Jefferson also said that if they had lived in America instead of Europe, they wouldn't have been a secret society. They could have propounded all of their ideas openly, protected by the First Amendment. They only had to be a secret society because no place in Europe had a First Amendment then. Whether the Illuminati still exists or not is one of the questions I leave open in my books, and I'm not going to close it here. Let people figure that out for themselves. But then what made them fascinating was they were a secret society within a secret society, an enigma inside a riddle, to paraphrase Winston Smith or Winston Churchill or one of those Winston guys. The Illuminati were all recruited from Masonic lodges. It was a secret society within Masonry. This technique was copied in the 19th century by the Molly Maguires, which was an Irish terrorist group, sort of forerunners of the IRA, who were recruited within the Ancient Order of Hibernians, which was a secret society. Now, the Ancient Order of Hibernians, like the Masons, seems to be devoted chiefly to benevolent activities and advancing one another's business interests. The Masons were advancing the interests of a certain class. They were the revolutionary class in the 18th century, the bourgeoisie, who wanted to overthrow feudalism. Now they're the conservative class, the bourgeoisie, who's terrified of further revolutions, which explains why the typical 18th century Freemason was somebody like Jefferson, Voltaire, Ben Franklin, Mozart, all avant-garde revolutionary thinkers. And the typical Freemasons of today are people like J. Edgar Hoover and the Pays-Douay crowd in Italy, who I'll come to in a minute. The Molly Maguires worked within the Ancient Order of Hibernians, which was a secret society of no nefarious character, which was just devoted to helping the Irish get established in this country against all the Anglo prejudice against the Irish. And they gradually took over a lot of political machines, and some of them they still run, especially in Boston and Chicago. Within the Ancient Order of Hibernians was the Molly Maguires, a terrorist outfit devoted to driving the English out of Ireland by any means necessary. They were just copying the Illuminati, a secret society within a secret society. There's a good film about the Molly Maguires, and it stars Sean Connery. You ought to look for it at your video store. Italy, in the 1970s, another secret society was formed within a secret society. That was Pays-Douay. Pays-Douay was formed within the Grand Orient Lodge of Egyptian Freemasonry, which was founded by the mysterious Count Cagliostro, a chap who appeared in France in the 1880s and claimed to be 2,000 years old, performed the transmutation of metals, turned lead into gold in plain sight of the Archbishop of Rouen, and healed many sick people just by touching them. There are various theories about how Cagliostro's magic worked. The faith healing does work if you build up enough enthusiasm, or it works a large part of the time. As for transmuting lead into gold, any stage magician can do that. It just depends on distracting the attention of the audience. Anyway, Cagliostro and Orleans founded the Grand Orient Lodge of Egyptian Freemasonry, which has become more, in which in the 19th century was involved in many democratic revolutions against monarchy and feudalism. By the 1970s in Italy, the Grand Orient Lodge had settled down to being more or less conservative, and within it, Licio Gelli formed a secret society called Pei Due, a secret society within a secret society, just like the Illuminati. Pei Due managed to infiltrate over 950 of their agents into the Italian government. The government fell when this was revealed in the newspapers. The first crack was when a member of Pei Due quit and put out a journal called Osservatore Politico, pardon my lousy Italian, and in it he described a lot of the crooked deals Pei Due was doing. He was shot down by machine gun fire in Rome right after that came out. Pope John Paul ordered an investigation of the Vatican Bank and its connections with Pei Due, and he was taken suddenly dead of a heart attack right after that. Funny coincidence. Pei Due turned out to be operating over 200 fictitious banks along with some real banks. The fictitious banks, which the Italian investigating magistrates called ghost banks, a name I like, it sounds like it comes right out of one of my novels. The ghost banks existed only on paper, but they were used for laundering cocaine money from South America because Pei Due had worked out an alliance with the mafia and the CIA as for the laundering of cocaine money to support the CIA's favorite dictators in South America. The money went through the World Finance Company in Miami, which was staffed by 8 former CIA agents. A former CIA agent can be somebody who's left the agency, although that's very rare. Usually a former CIA agent is somebody who's still working for the CIA, but he's not on the books anymore. He's getting paid through a numbered Swiss bank account. Anyway, the World Finance Corporation took all this cocaine money and sent it to the Cisalpine Bank in the Bahamas, which was run by Archbishop Marcinkus, the manager of the Vatican Bank, and Roberto Calvi, the president of Banco Ambrosiano. Calvi was found hanging from a bridge in London on June 18, 1982. And they're still arguing about whether that was murder or suicide. He was wanted for laundering drug money and embezzling $55 million. Archbishop Marcinkus was kicked out of the Vatican Bank and made mayor of Vatican City, and then as the scandal mounted, he was kicked out of there too, and he's back in Cicero, Illinois. The third big kingpin in this outfit was Michele Sindona, a mafia lawyer, who was running quite a few imaginary banks too, along with the Franklin National Bank in the United States, which turned out to be another drug laundering operation. He was convicted in New York of 55 counts of stock and currency fraud. And then they extradited him to Italy, where he was convicted of murdering a bank examiner. He was about to go on trial for conspiring with Calvi and Gelli to overthrow the government and install a new fascist government when he was poisoned in his cell. Most of the Pei Due activities were connected with the Swiss banks run by the Grand Loge Alpina, which is the Swiss branch of the Grand Orient Lodge. The Grand Loge Alpina are the people Harold Wilson, the English Prime Minister, called the Gnomes of Zurich. Everybody else pronounces that gnomes, but Harold Wilson believed the G should be pronounced. He said the Gnomes of Zurich, these Swiss bankers, who all belong to the Grand Loge Alpina. These Swiss bankers control Europe by deciding who they're going to lend money to. If a government can't borrow money from them, it can't do what it wants to do. So you can only do, a government, according to Harold Wilson, can only do what the bankers want to let it do. So the real power is in the hands of the bankers. Other people have said that before Harold Wilson, but he specifically picked out the Grand Loge Alpina, which it turns out not only was intimately involved with the Pei Due banks and false banks in Italy and Latin America, but with the Priory of Sion in France, which is a group of French aristocrats who have allowed books about them to be published with the wildest imaginable stories. Gerard de Sed wrote a book called La Race Fabuleuse, claiming the members of the Priory of Sion are descended from intermarriages between the tribe of Benjamin in ancient Israel and extraterrestrials from Sirius. Another book by Bajan, Lincoln, and Lee claims that the members are descended from Jesus Christ and Mary Magdalene, who were secretly married and had a son who became the founder of the Merovingian dynasty in France. And they have long genealogy showing a lot of interesting people are descended from Jesus and Mary Magdalene, including Prince Bernhard of the Netherlands, who founded the Bilderbergers, the group of financiers who meet every year very secretly and appear prominently in all conspiracy theories, and Otto von Habsburg, the president of the Society for the United States of Europe, which has done so much to unify Europe, who is also, by the way, a Knight of Malta. The Knights of Malta are an honorary group the Vatican has given special privileges to. Many anti-Catholic historians regard the Knights of Malta as the Pope's secret police. There was one book claimed the Knights of Malta and the CIA worked together continually in South America to maintain the landlords and the church in power and kill off all the peasants who object. Licio Gelli, in fact, the founder of PayDue, was providing most of the ex-Nazis with false identity papers and getting them jobs with the death squads in Central America. So when people ask me if the Illuminati still exists, I don't know, but things a lot like the Illuminati still exist, that's for sure. That's for damn sure.